Well, praise God. That's a good word, Bob. That's a good word. We're not gonna stop. You know, God is always doing things. Okay, but at various times He begins to do things, and then we have, as on Sunday we said, the Lord just said very clearly that, you know, don't start something you don't intend to finish. It's too hard on us if we start something we don't finish. The devil is the king of condemnation. He's the king of accusation. He's all of those things. God isn't those things. God's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the encourager and the confirmer, you know. I've been just hearing a lot of wonderful things from God and through other people, educational, revelation type things, just having opportunity to fill up on God and on His Word and all. We can live in His presence. We can, if we will focus on that, if we'll choose Him, you know, consider Jesus. And it's so important that we do that. And you think about that the Lord is the King of Kings. He's the King over kings. What are we? Priests and kings. He's the Lord of lords. He's the Lord over lords, right? We are lords. He said we should have dominion. You know, in England, there's Lord this and Lord that, and all kinds of lords over different things. Well, God has made us kings and priests. We are lords over this thing. We are lords over our own confession. And then He watches over our words to perform that. And our words are His words. Christ in you. Christ lives in you. Christ doesn't come down anymore after He's in you. He's in you. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, but He is in you. A picture that the Lord had given me, and I don't know if I ever shared it in church. I always wanted to. I think I maybe forgot it, but when I was looking at Jesus, when Jesus said, you know, Jesus is our foundation. And He talks about that He is in us, He is in God, and we are in Him. I in you, and you in me. And the picture that I got, do you remember those camping cups? I've never talked about this, those collapsible camping cups. You know, I don't even know if they have them anymore, but when I was a little kid, they had those little plastic cups, and they collapsed. And when I looked at a picture of this, I saw, you know, Christ, the foundation, the bottom, the source of all things. Without the bottom, nothing will stay in. And then that comes up in, and then He's in us, and then it all goes up in, and we are all in God. And so you have God, us, Jesus, all one. When we collapse, Jesus is right in the middle of us to raise us back up. And so the thing is that when God comes, when Jesus comes and offers Himself in our lives, when He comes and opens our eyes for salvation, we get the choice. I said before you the way of life and death, choose life. We make a choice. And when we make that choice, our life begins to be a series of choices in a different direction. Before we came to Him, we didn't have a choice. The devil doesn't give you a choice. He's continually trying to get you to go his direction. But now all of a sudden, you have a choice. We've been set free from sin and from death. We've been set free from the law. The law came because people wouldn't live inside of God. He never intended. Remember, we talked about that. He never intended for us to do anything but be in the garden and take care of things. And it was a pretty easy thing to take care of because He took care of everything. He intended that we would be with Him. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses, and he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me that I am his own. That was his intention. And so when Christ comes into our life, then that's what we return to. Now there are other things that we do out of an overflow of that relationship, but the sum and substance of it is keeping our relationship with him. Everything that we learn so that we can deepen our relationship with him. That's the whole thing. That's the most important thing. Our relationship with him. Your relationship with him is more important than anything else in your life. Vicky's relationship with God is far more important than her relationship with me. My relationship with God is way above my relationship with her. Has to be that way. But because if it is that way, then everything else will line up and it will be wonderful. That has to be, the whole thing has to be us, our relationship with God, so that we can go on and so that we can grow up in him, because then we will always consider him, because then he is most important. He has to get even above us so that we aren't most important. That's the largest single detriment to our relationship with God is us, when we put ourselves above him. But when we become trusting him and dependent upon him, then it begins to become just the natural outflow of that. And this week the Lord took me back into Acts chapter 14 again. And when he told me to go to Acts chapter 14, of course we had the discussion, man, I've been in Acts chapter 14 a lot more. But I've learned a long time ago that you know, Lord, you still have a lot in this chapter. In fact, if I didn't have any more than Acts chapter 14 in my life, you could just keep on teaching me from just it. But in Acts chapter 14, of course, we know that Paul and the guys were preaching, and we know that this was where the Lord continued to bear testimony and the word of his grace was on them. That's where we started with this, and the word of his grace was mightily upon them. His special favor and blessing, his you know, and that grace is what sustains us, that grace is what strengthens us, that grace is what carries us, it's all out of that special favor and blessing, and it's learning, it's understanding. I have the special favor and blessing of God. I love what Jerry Savelle says. He says, I'm highly favored and greatly blessed of the Lord, or greatly blessed and highly favored of the Lord, or whichever one it is, it's good. Because that's what we are. And when we declare that, I believe that the Lord says amen. And when we say, oh, I just don't know, for me, God says, they'll get it, you know. Heaven goes, oh, he says, they'll get it. Like Levon said, we don't have it, but we're getting it. We're learning it. Well, we begin to learn it as we begin to understand that it's available. That's the biggest thing. We begin to get revelation that begins to release us into this path, that begins to launch us into that next place with God. Whereby the things that we used to have happen that we didn't know about, really, they just sort of happened and we sort of did what was right by accident, but now all of a sudden we understand that's the right way to do that. It's like when we were out in the hills, the kids had gotten this little ball, one of them puzzle balls that you put together, and you got to take it apart just right and put it back together just right. And Shiloh got it done, and then Rachel got it done, and then they said, "You want to try it, Dad?" I don't care to try it. And then finally, I decided to try it. Well, while I'm trying it, I got Rachel right over my shoulder, and I said, "Honey, why don't you go to the swimming pool? I think I can get this, and if I can't, that's okay. It won't bother me not to get it. I mean, I'll live. It'll be fine." But anyway, I sat and worked on it, and it took me quite some time, but I got it together. So that was two puzzles in 1 year. I got the little thing from Michael's graduation where you could get the little BB out, and now I got this thing out, and then I took it apart and I put it together again. And I didn't do it accidentally the second time, I did it on purpose. But it didn't just fly together, you know. And I told my Shiloh, I said, you know what you need is a Rubik's Cube. just a little challenge. I never did. Anybody here ever solve a Rubik's Cube? No, I wanted to take one apart once and put it together right, but I never did get it solved. You know, there was a way, but it wasn't the way that was the right way. So anyway, but you know, things that you just kind of by hook or by crook, you know, you get it together. Not by crook, my Lord, we're saved. But you get it together, you know, and you know, it's like it's a wonderful thing. But then the proof is in the pudding when you say, okay, now I know I can get it together. I'll get it together again. Well, this is what happens on our walk with God. We learn to get it together. We learn to get it together on our own. We learn to get it together together. We learn to gather together. And that's what Jesus did with the disciples. They learned to gather together. They learned to follow him. They learned to listen to him. They learned to see what he was doing. But, you know, while he was doing all of the things he was doing, they had absolutely no idea that they were ever going to be doing that. And then one day he said, okay, you guys go out and try this now. Can you imagine what they thought? Can you imagine the look they gave him? Say, what? Yeah, you guys. Two by two, you go out there and you do the stuff. What stuff? The stuff that you've seen me doing, you guys. I want you to go out and do it. Listen, I'll be with you. It'll work. Just trust me. It'll work. And they went out, and sure enough, it worked. I mean, it must have really worked good for James and John, remember, because they wanted to sit at the right hand. They must have thought they really did good. I don't know. But, you know, I mean, it was amazing. It was amazing. And to us, he says sort of the same things. Go out and do it. Go out and do it. And understand this, that everything that Jesus did was miraculous, but not everything he did was a miracle to the vision. A lot of times it was just speaking to people's hearts, and they were transformed by a word. They were transformed by his kindness, transformed by his love. I mean, you know, a woman comes and she just weeps and washes his feet with her tears and wipes it off with her hair. I mean, she's just so overwhelmed by his love. It doesn't say that he said to her, oh, I love you, you're a precious child. It's just something, she just knew that it was okay. And Jesus made a big deal. I mean, he said, man, she loves me. She loves me because she senses the love. And so the love of God on you is a miraculous thing. Have you ever had the love of God kick in on you when the last thing you felt was loving? When it just took you over? When it was just like you couldn't believe the transformation? It was like you got done and it was unsettling. You got done and you were almost mad that it took over when you could have gone ahead and done the other thing that you wanted to do. Where just his love, you know, his love consumes you. Well, Paul was out doing a lot of damage to the devil. A lot of damage. And there were a lot of people mad. You know, people get mad when you're doing damage to the devil. It's interesting. Have you ever wondered, I'm wondering this because it's coming to my mind as I'm saying this, okay? But, because I haven't wondered about this before. But have you ever wondered, you know, how it's so much easier for people to oppose you than to back you? How it's so much easier for people to mock God than it is to come alongside you when you're standing for the Lord. I mean, the devil, it's just amazing the way that... But you have to understand that those people don't have a choice yet. They don't have a choice because they are servants of their father, the devil, even though they don't know it. And we have to have discernment. We need to recognize. We need to recognize what is God and what is not God. And we need to readily acknowledge it. You know, sometimes it's like, you know, I mean, I need to recognize in me when what comes out of me was not God. I need to recognize in my family if something comes out of it, it's not God. I mean, this it comes up, we aren't perfect. Okay? But I want to make sure that I don't agree with those things that are not God. And at our house, we've recently been kind of having a good run of things, of Vicki and I correcting each other and receiving it. You know? just kind of correcting what's being said, and the other one saying, "Oh, okay." I mean, not even okay, but you know, and okay, you know. I just, have you noticed that? Yeah. I mean, you know what happened? I mean, it isn't just it, probably her probably trying to correct me more because, you know, get the pastor. No, I'm just kidding. No, but generally gently, you know. I mean, and it's good. I'm glad to see that. But I think it's because we both want this to go to the next level. I don't want to be robbed. I'm not going to be robbed. I won't be robbed by my wife. I won't be robbed by my children. I won't be robbed by you, and I will not allow anything to rob you. I will pray, and God will hear me. I will pray with authority over you people who really, what you've done is you come alongside. We're beside each other in ministry, and that's the most important thing anything that any of us can ever do. And as we put the focus on that, then God is able to. Then he opens the windows of heaven, and nobody can say that's not fair, God, because he's just, and he's doing just what he wants to do. And so the Apostle Paul is out there, and they finally chase him down after miracles, and they stone him. And they leave him for dead. It says in verse 19, but some Jews arrived there from Antioch. Acts chapter 14, verse 19. They arrived there from the Antioch and Iconium, and having persuaded the people and won them over, they stoned Paul. Now tell me something. How in the world could they convince them? It says, having persuaded the people and won them over. How did they win them over after the miracle that Paul had been doing? After the things that Paul had done? How did they persuade them and get them to turn on him? I do not understand that. It doesn't make any sense, does it? And yet, it makes all the sense in the world because they did the same thing to Jesus. For some reason, people are more easily persuaded to go against God than with God. We have to train ourselves to choose Jesus. It takes an effort. There's a reason that it says, fight the good fight of faith. Cast down imaginations. Bring every thought into the captivity of the obedience of Christ. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but the principalities and the powers and the rulers of darkness of this world. We are at war. But we win. But they manage to